pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Mr. Sheldon.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wayne County Board of Supervisors. March 30th, 2021, are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have none. Department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Wayne County Auditor.
Good morning. The office is busy and we're just trying to, we got a new, the new law changes were sent to us by our council up at Secretary of State's office with a bunch of red line to help us understand it, which eventually, hopefully we will. But Janelle reminded me that she's even affected by this too. Because now for her tax statement, she has to add a statement letting everybody know what the poll hours are on our tax statements.
Really?
So, yeah, really. So she has to figure out, I don't know, are you gonna contact your rest of your treasurers to find out what kind of statement to put on? That's all it says, is to a statement on.
Statements have been ordered, I just hope that they haven't been printed yet, otherwise.
Because when Cheryl and I were talking about it yesterday, we said, where in the heck do we have room to add another statement to our tax statements?
There's so much on there now, it's such small print that.
Yeah, nobody's gonna read it anyway, but we have to do that until I think.
2024.
Yep. Yeah, so it's far reaching.
I spent part of last week, I went to attended a meeting by Zoom at the Senate Ways and Means, I believe, Subcommittee. And to read those, the, you know, projected limit or proposed legislation, they've got the old legislation and cross this out and add this and cross this out and reference some other code. Almost impossible to understand.
That's why we usually wait for somebody to decipher it for us, so. So, nope, that's all I have then.
Thank you, Terry. Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always, but nothing new to report.
Thank you. Brett Grimshaw.
Good morning. Just wanted to say we've got a new fully functioning evidence processing room built. Last week, we were under construction. We now have a place to bring our evidence in, process it without bringing it and tracking it through the rest of the office. And I would like to thank Rodney and his staff for helping us get that done and accomplished. We had to move some doors and some walls and it was quite the project, but we're finished now, so. I did speak to Doug, who's got 71 out there with 6 out of county.
Ready, B?
That's all I have.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Projects are ongoing. Lump bottom's moving, removing more concrete and maybe start hauling some rock tomorrow. Probably a couple weeks at least from any paving at all out there, so, but it is coming along. And 99, the bridge is moving along. Should start tying steel tomorrow from the sound of it. So all the bridge deck steel's on site and they're waiting for the subcontractor to come start tying that deck steel. So so that's good progress. Where I think we have a pre-pour meeting later this week, which is more or less just a chance to get together with the contractor, with the concrete supplier and all those folks and talk about the day that we're gonna pour. They're planning on pouring that deck because there's a lot of detail that's gotta go into that day and it's all gonna happen correctly. So
they get all poured one day.
Their intention is to pour it all in one day. They had to ask us, we have to grant permission for that on this size of bridge deck. We did. But again, that takes a commitment because there is a time limit and they have to, obviously gotta have the concrete trucks, they gotta have the pumper, everything's gotta work and keep going.
How many yards of concrete does that need?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but I can find out for you.
And they think they're guaranteed delivery?
That's always the battle.
I've been on a couple of construction projects in my life.
Yeah. That's always the battle.
Things that don't turn out quite like you hoped.
I think I figured, I don't remember the yardage, Tom, but I think last week when I did a little bit of math, I think they're hoping they can do it in about 9 hours. And I think they're gonna need roughly about 8 trucks an hour to make all that happen consistently. And that doesn't seem like a lot, but bridge decks are slow. You gotta do it all by a pumper more or less, and it's a slow, steady progress. You hope nothing breaks down. I mean, anytime you have them, you're, and it's a very busy day for inspectors too. There's a lot of inspection stuff that never gets seen by anybody other than in the guts of the project, but it's a day where we'll have at least probably 3 to 4 people that just pretty much live down there all day long. You just everything you cover and along with the concrete testing itself. So that'll be, whenever that comes along, that'll be a good day. We should have a better idea of that when we have that meeting, and I'll hopefully pass that on to you guys next week, and that'll be a good day. You can get that deck poured, and that's not the only concrete to be poured. That doesn't mean the bridge is done. They still got, it's over 300 foot long, and that guardrail, that open rail is what we call it on both sides of the bridge, has to be done across the whole bridge, and that's a very tedious process. That's all got to be formed up. So anyway.
That'll be similar to the railing on the Augusta Bridge?
The same. Yeah, that's all we use is the open rail. So the difference when you go, for instance, across the big bridge here, the River Bridge, the DOT uses basically what they call New Jersey barrier rail, but it's closed rail. So all the water's got to drain basically to a certain drain spot and drop through the bridge deck, but it's a solid wall of concrete. I use open rail so that there's drainage under the, other than the post areas, there's drainage under off the entire bridge. So, because if you've ever driven across a DOT bridge, in the long run, that's where they end up with a lot of deteriorations, because that's where they're, all winter long, that's where their salt ends up sitting. So we try to avoid that if we can. But things are moving, and we do have a bid opening later this week for the Pleasant Grove Road project. So I should have a better idea of that next week also. So busy thing, busy time.
They still spot rocking?
We haven't done much spot rocking. It's with the dry week we have in front of us. We want the guys to focus on blading and not be chasing trucks as much as possible. So this week we really are just going to blade. We are going to start up our full rocking program Wednesday as of right now, which only impacts one blade guy at a time. So that doesn't tie up multiple blade guys, but and we always start with our tier one roads because those are the ones that need the most time and the most rock to be ready for whenever we do the dust control, which we did take bids on that also, and that came in about the same as last year. I don't know we bid some city stuff at the same time, and I don't remember what that breakdown was, but very similar to what Cheryl had budgeted. So Harry and I did that bid opening last week. So a lot of things moving and coming together. So
thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Rodney Wheeler from maintenance. Rodney, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it, but I can't remember very many meetings, and I've been here quite some time, that another department, at least one other department, was thanking you for something. So not always mentioned, but it's always appreciated. So thank you. I know you are well deserving of this thing.
Thank you.
And your department.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We do have a lot going on, a lot of different projects. I do want to thank Brett and Kevin, Clint, Brad, Katie on that little evidence room project over there. Was really kind of time sensitive to get a doorway out, locker out, move the doorway, get another wall built in, get it all put back together so everything was enclosed the same day. So really, we couldn't have done it without their help, so really appreciate them guys. Worked really well together and went pretty smooth, so we appreciate their help. Other than that, we just got a lot of stuff going on. I think we're going to start mowing today. Sounds kind of early, but some of the grass is starting to grow pretty good. So I'm going to start that this week. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. For us, it's been kind of putting out fires, both literally and figuratively. We got all the campgrounds open. We had campers in the park this weekend. We had 9 at the Big Hollow through the weekend, which is busy for late March. The people are just chomping at the bit to get out, so we're happy to provide that. And then just within our own facilities, we got everything opened up. Didn't really have any issues. Like last year, when we opened the shower house, we had found that there'd been some water left in a couple of the shower controls. They're real fine vacuum control deals. Didn't get those flushed out and they broke last year. This year, we opened the thing up and everything worked the way it was supposed to. So that one all lickety split. But then within our own facilities, we've got a septic problem at our shop. We've got plumbing problems at our office. And so it's just been the staff's been kind of running around between, you know, dealing with this and that. It's just, you know, so it goes this time of year. Just trying to work around red flag warnings and, you know, one, it's raining in the morning and then by the afternoon you've got a red flag warning saying it's too dry to burn. So it's just, you know, this is spring in Iowa. And so trying to get our spring burns in as best we can while working around all the park stuff. So March, April, and well, from here until pretty much October is pretty much scramble time for the field staff. So, and I think I mentioned before, we did make some changes to the Jamboree. That event itself isn't going to take place the way it normally does, but we are going to have an open house up at Big Hollow on May 15th. And so folks can kind of come out and kind of on their own time, just explore the park. We're going to have like a digital scavenger hunt, come out and borrow our canoes, get out on the lake if you want to. We're going to have, you know, some other things. People can kind of just passively, you know, it's not face-to-face engagement like we'll do with the Jamboree. Come out and explore the park, and then we're going to do this thing where anybody that's got a canoe or a kayak, come out to the park and be on the lake at 1 o'clock. We're going to take a drone shot of all of those canoes and kayaks going on the lake. So that should be kind of neat. Folks can kind of do that out there. So looking forward to that and kind of working in the background of that. And then we've been doing some hike the park programs. They did a full moon hike the other night out of Starscape. That was well attended. We had 100 ed class at Starscape on Saturday. So. Lots of things going on.
Well, be careful with your drone. I heard on the radio that they had one over Lake Michigan and they evidently irritated a bald eagle. Turned out poorly for the drone.
Nice. I have to look that up. I
hadn't
heard that one.
Janelle Nally Longquist, County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're very busy right now. One last reminder this month of the second half property taxes that are due tomorrow, Wednesday, March 31st. They can pay them in the office up till 4:30 and the Dropbox up until 4:30. And then 11:59 tomorrow evening online. Or they can make the payment by mail as long as it's postmarked on or before March 31st. So, like I said, last reminder for those second half taxes.
I was down there yesterday and told Julie that. This is only 2 times a year when you guys are even less popular than we are. this is one of those. Thanks, Janelle.
You're welcome.
We got anybody on?
Yeah. Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Good morning. I don't really have anything significant to report. It's been kind of picking up here in terms of new inquiries coming in about mainly subdivisions or land splits, but expect probably to see some zoning inquiries as well with weather getting nicer here. So just keeping busy as usual. We're moving forward with the ordinance update here, doing some finishing some final review of some things before we give it to the county attorney's office to review. So. Just moving forward with that. We do have 2 subdivisions up for review now. 9 minor subdivisions, probably going to have one for next week and then one for the week after. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jared. I have a quick question for Jared.
Yes.
Are you guys going to have a red line copy of some sort of that policy that you're revamping? I know you've had meetings with the board and other meetings, but at some point,
we can make the when it's made available for the attorney's office to review, we could send that around and for others to review as well. I believe we sent an initial draft last last fall, but there have been a number of changes since then, so we can certainly make that available to anybody else who's interested in looking it over.
I would be one that'd like to look that over, especially since we talked about the fencing stuff, so.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
Will do.
Thanks, Jared.
I have two more, but I think they're part of the proclamation, so.
Okay. Any of you gentlemen?
No.
Correspondents?
No.
Correspondents, I received a call. They're, and I suspect Brian's familiar with this, they're installing a force main from the landfill to the new, to the West Burlington Water Treatment Plant.
I can speak more to it whenever you're done.
Okay, well, it takes me long to say what I think.
That's fine.
So I drove out, and I hadn't been out there for a couple months or didn't anyway, and I knew that they were working back toward the landfill, but they've come along Washington Road and out to 34, down 34. I have seen neater construction sites, and so I got a call from somebody that the front of their property looks like crap.
They're not wrong.
Anyway, and so you're a county resident, and I told them the county will be taking care of them. So, but yeah, I was a little disappointed. So there's always a little inconvenience with construction, especially construction near a roadway. I understand that, and not always pretty, but this looks a little egregiously less than that.
The project itself is that the landfill, and they have a consultant who did the design for the project, and of course they bid the project out to a contractor, but the project itself is, and I don't know a lot more about it than just this, that they're running it's either a 3 or 4 inch, it's basically a force main. So they can pump, as I understand it, pump their leachate ultimately to the West Burlington Treatment Plant is, and again, these details could be a little off because it's not my project. It's just they had to get a utility permit to do work in county right away, same as I'm sure they had to do in West Burlington. So it's a landfill project that's going on. They started last fall. It went less than smooth, in my opinion. It was far more of a babysitting job than we prefer to see a utility project, because again, they're not our project. We oversee them as far as we have to approve a permit, and this one took quite a bit of extra time on at least on my part. Normally a utility permit is basic. You run it through and I won't tell you we never have issues, because that typically the number one concern or complaint about a utility project is from a landowner, because the Code of Iowa grants utility companies the right to use county right-of-way for utilities. And actually, the county doesn't have the right, in general, at least, to stop that. So there's some gray area in there, but in general, that's... So this is kind of sort of one of those facts of life, but rarely has a utility project, been, in my opinion, this poorly done. At least the first part of it. It is a mess. She's not wrong. The contractor has on occasion been off of the right of way, which they of course don't have permission to do. Made some messes on the road and along the road. Didn't have full safety stuff out, which she probably didn't even realize, but obviously we did. So there's been many conversations between us and, or me even directly, and the consultants, the contractor, and also I know West Burlington's had some input also. But I did reach out yesterday to the consultant, which is the proper starting spot for this conversation. And they said that they thought that within the next week they were going to start doing some cleanup work, some reshaping, and some seeding and stuff. So. The answer to that is ultimately yes, that it's expected. And I made it known last fall when I realized they were going off of the right of way that I expected them to plan on taking care of and repairing everything, not just trench, but everything that they were damaging or would be damaged, or anybody complains about anything, as far as I'm concerned. And that was made clear over an email process. So supposedly I got an email back from the consultant. There should be starting some fixes, but they're still working also. They're into West Burlington now, but they have plenty of repair work to do on the county side of things too. It's not been impressive, I guess is what I'd say. So, they do have better traffic control than they had. It's a far safer situation than it was. So that's what's going on there. We are keeping an eye on it. She happens to live not far from our shop, so we're very familiar with the spot, and we'll keep pushing to deal with it. And ultimately, it's a landfill project. So, you know, there is always somebody on up that chain that has responsibility. So we'll stay on it. So.
I have made a special appearance at a landfill meeting once or twice. So.
I right now don't have a reason to believe they won't fix it up. But I say that with almost half-hearted because, again, we're kind of almost the middleman on this. You have to do the utility permit. And they're out of our county now, but they still have, and into the city, but they still have work to do. There's no question about that. There's still a mess sitting there. So.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
to go on that, I guess you drive us through there, so if these guys haven't seen that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drive through there and see that.
I think it's a great idea.
One more correspondence. We shall proceed to discussion and vote. We have a child abuse prevention one proclamation. Did those individuals wish to speak before or after our vision proclamation?
Aaron, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Would you prefer that I read this proclamation before you spoke, or would you like to speak before I read the proclamation?
I can introduce it, I guess, and then you could read it.
That'd be fine. Okay. Whatever works for you.
Okay, so I am Aaron Jones, the chair of Des Moines County Care, and also the Community Partnerships for Protecting Children coordinator for four counties, including Des Moines County, and out of Mount Pleasant. But we work on child abuse prevention efforts. And Des Moines County Cares is the county child abuse prevention council that comes down through Prevent Child Abuse Iowa, as well as the Community Partnerships for Protecting Children Planning Council. So we've kind of merged two child abuse prevention groups into one. And with April being Child Abuse Prevention Month, we've just asked all of our county boards to declare a proclamation of that for our county. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and we appreciate what you do. Okay. Whereas our children are our most valuable resource and will shape the future of Des Moines County. Whereas child abuse and neglect directly harms children and increases the likelihood of long-term physical and mental health problems, alcohol and substance abuse, continued family violence, and criminal behavior. Whereas children suffering from child abuse are more likely to engage in risky behavior, perform poorly in school, develop unhealthy relationships, suffer from depression, attempt suicide, and express violent aggression. And whereas only $1 is spent on preventing child abuse in Iowa for every $50 spent on treating it. And whereas Iowa is leading research efforts to better understand the negative long-term outcomes of child abuse and neglect among adults through the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, known as ACEs, which shows that poor physical health, mental health, and financial health in adulthood is attributed to adverse experiences in childhood, including abuse, neglect, poverty, systemic racism, whereas the risk of child abuse is reduced through strong social supports and a kind, empathetic community for adults and children, and whereas research shows that the presence of one caring relationship in a child's life mitigates negative outcomes and reduces risk factors, resulting in better physical health, mental health, and financial health, and whereas research shows that there is hope because prevention is possible and positive social supports for children and adults are key factors in improving well-being for all in Iowa. And now, therefore, we as the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors do hereby proclaim April 2021 as Child Abuse Prevention Month in Des Moines County and urge all citizens in our community to increase their participation in building caring connections with families, thereby preventing child abuse and strengthening the community in which we live. Dated this 30th day of March, 2021.
I move to approve the Child Abuse Proclamation.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
No child should have to go through what they go through sometimes, verbal abuse, physical abuse. Very, absolutely terrible.
We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $128.39.
I move to approve payroll claims.
Right.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have an appointment to the Des Moines County Board of Health. To the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, I would like to express my desire to serve our community as a member of the Des Moines County Board of Health. I moved to Burlington December 2014 and have been residing here from that time. I have worked with school-based health as a school administrator in Waterloo, Iowa, and had two doctor nurses as members of my congregation when I pastored in Iowa City, Iowa. They specialized in community health and gave me much greater insight into the role of boards of health. As critical as the current pandemic is, it will pass and the continued role of the County Board of Health will be more important than ever. I would like to help with the outreach and continued great service the board provides. This is where I live, and this is where I would like to serve. Thank you for your consideration, Reverend Orlando R. Dial.
I move that we approve Orlando Dial to the Des Moines County Board of Health.
I will second that, and I met Orlando Dial. We had him at our meeting. Real knowledgeable. I think it's going to be a good asset for the board.
Good.
He's top notch.
Good.
He owes me 75 cents. I just
I don't know Reverend Diamond.
I don't think this back though.
I don't think I'm going to hold this up until that death pay.
When
I meet him, I'll try to remember to. Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes, please.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Between the Des Moines County and the Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center to provide health care services to low-income individuals. Without reading this, I don't think there's any sort of a... Essentially, this is changing the name of Great River to the Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center. The county has an agreement that they can provide health care services to low-income individuals residing in Des Moines County who are not entitled to benefits under Title 18 or the Social Security Act or eligible for assistance from the state of Iowa. Des Moines County has no obligation to this. It's just some sort of a bureaucratic agreement, but they need to have the agreement that we've already got the agreement. It's with Great River. And so this is for Southeast Iowa since they purchased Fort Madison. They merged with Fort Madison Community Hospital, so they have a new name. So this is essentially an agreement we have that we want them to be able to continue to provide that service.
Move to approve the agreement between Des Moines County and Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center.
A second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Class C liquor license for the Hy-Vee Nud Wedding on April 22nd at Barn on a Ridge on Irish Ridge Road.
Move to approve it.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. This is the county engineer. We have approval of the supplemental agreement for the final design of Des Moines County Bridge T-17, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, this is the final design agreement for the Dry Branch Bridge, which we will visit here right after the meeting. It'll be one of the projects we look at. This is expected. I'd say I probably shouldn't say this, but probably about a third of this is already spent and done, to be honest with you, with the process going. If you look through it, there's geotechnical.
I can see the headlines tomorrow.
that's just the way things go.
County engineer sees it's the Lord.
You keep things moving is what you do. So geotechnical's already done, for instance, and stuff like that. So, anyway, I would recommend approval of this, and they will continue working towards a final set of plans for this bridge project. So, but for the record, this is the next bridge north on Highway 99 from Flint Creek Bridge. It's Dry Branch, and it is in our construction program, hopefully to be bid this year, but we still got to buy right-of-way and get permits, so we'll see.
Okay.
And that bridge is going to stay it's going to stay open for traffic when we're doing that, right?
The goal is to build a new bridge and do some grading with minimal disruption to 99 traffic. When we get to the point of final grading and paving, it will be closed, but that's at least 2 years away, maybe even 3 years away, depending on when this one gets going. One of the reasons we weren't more aggressive in about getting this going is because we needed the Flint Creek Bridge to be done. And of course, going into last year, there's never any guarantees on that. So it's kind of been a domino thing we've been just working towards.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, even if I have to be serious for a moment, the county engineer does not do anything that hasn't been brought to us in the session. Or during a road tour. But he's a fair game for.
Fair game, and it doesn't bother me. No, our consultant, we have a good consulting firm, and they don't, they don't just shut down when all of a sudden it takes. I talked to them, and we need to get that geotech going. And there was actually something where we went over on some preliminary design numbers too, because we're looking at a bunch of different options, and that takes time and money, and that's the appropriate way to do a project like this. So they kept moving. I said, go ahead, and we decided we'd address it in this agreement. So. It's pretty standard, actually, for a bridge design. But anyway, there you go. That's the project, and I'd request approval. Thank you, Brian.
I make the motion to approve the supplemental agreement for the final design of the Des Moines County Bridge.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. I would note that's funded through the farm market account.
Oh, yeah.
Not that.
I thought you were going to tell me there's federal money there someplace. I wasn't allowed to stamp it.
Stamp away. I'm not going to infer anything at all.
Corps engineer will send that right back. What the hell is that stamp going on there? Okay. We have personnel action for the correctional center. Cody Reynolds, a full-time correctional officer, unpaid time off of 16 and a half hours for March 27th and March 28th, 2021.
I move that we approve personnel action.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
We have minutes for the regular meeting of March 23rd, 2021.
Move to approve minutes.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items?
I have none at this point.
I will likely, I'll use the latter half of the meeting next week, but I will likely be on the agenda next week and do the formal presentation and the full approval of the five-year program. So it's nothing new. We have to do it every single year, and it's got to be done one of the next two Tuesdays. So just so you guys know, not a work session, it'll be during the meeting. I'll have Terry put it at the end, just to bear everybody any pain.
I might have to leave early for dinner. I've got a future agenda item that you're not going to be happy with me about, Bob. It's going to be next week for you. I forgot to, somehow I got the dates wrong, and they told me last week when we had the meeting that we had to go on a road tour afterwards, and I was supposed to put you back. And Bob, I forgot to give you a call, so I know you're going to talk about me like a dog, but I'm going to make it up to you. I'll make it up to you. The next time we meet for coffee, it's on me, Bob. I so apologize for that.
That's all right. It kind of reminds me of, the defense mechanism of I can explain. I wasn't even
explain there, man. Oh, I have no explanation. I completely blew you off, Bob. I apologize about your tea. I'm going to buy you good coffee. I promise. I promise.
It's nice to see you anyway, Bob.
It's nice to see you.
Also, sorry about tell you, Tom and I have got an excuse for that. Uh-huh. And that's called old age, but I don't know what's going on.
No. I think it's an inherent condition.
You want me to open up my shirt? I'll show you my chest here, so we'll see. You later, buddy. Grimshaw, come here. Here's Grimshaw when you need him. Any other future items? So we have a work session apparently next week with Bob.
Yes, I already had that written in my future agenda items.
I think we all knew about it except for Bob.
I was prepared. She wasn't. So.
Brian and I kind of looked at each other like, along here. When he walked in, we knew that it was that quick.
When Bob left, is that why Bob was here?
Bartles?
No, I answered.
Well,
oh, we didn't come with either one of you? He didn't show up with the newspaper or conservation?
He's a Bob.
What's that mean? Let's get down to it. What's that really mean? Something we ought to make it to. Maybe he's going to write something about some terrible happening in an old Board of Supervisors meeting happened at a bar on Front Street. Committee reports.
I had a regional planning Zoom meeting. Listen, I'm kind of getting up to date on some of the stuff, so. But nothing really to report on it. Then I had a juvenile detention meeting, and this goes along with what Brett said, you know, they've got 71 in the jail. I think last 2 years ago at this time, we had over 100 in jail out there. And kind of give you an idea on the juveniles, in 2019, we had 1,182 at $160 a day.
182 days.
182 days. It's not it's if one guy stays there, if one juvenile stays there 365 days, that's counted. That's only one person, but so just trying to make it nice here. Des Moines County, as of now, through February, we've only had 524 days compared to what we had the year before at 627 days at a cost of $16,480. We're not the only county that is seeing a downfall in the juveniles, and I don't know if it COVID caused it or what caused it, but Henry County in 2020 had 822 days, and this year through February they've got 373 at a savings of $71,840 on juvenile detention. And Lee County followed suit with 597 in 2020 and 163. So their juvenile detention has really gone down. The savings is $69,440. So that's the good side of it, you know. The flip side of it is it's gonna put the pressure on the counties if this trend keeps going, which I hope it does. If we get down too low, we lose our voting rights on this board. So, and that's not happening yet, but it could.
We got any young employees we could volunteer to?
Colin, he looks young enough.
He's got a baby face.
Put a little dye in Carter's hair. He might be.
There'd be a lot of dye.
Anyway, that's what I had, and I'm glad to see that it's gone down. I don't know what's caused it to go down, but that means we don't have the juvenile problems in Des Moines County that we had last year and 2 years ago.
I just had Quad County DCAT meeting. We were able to give seven different organizations. It looked like there was going to be four, but we were to give three more organizations some money to help them out. All of them in Des Moines County, I think, except for two. One's in Henry County, and the other one, I think, is in Muscatine. But doing some good things.
I did not have any committee. I attended virtually the meeting of the Safe Senate Ways and Means Committee. They're proposing it's sort of a tax / mental health bill, and they're proposing some changes, and the state would take over funding of mental health, and backfill would be phased out, and there's some things about it I like, and there's some things I'm not quite so fond of.
How soon were they phasing out the backfill?
Oh, for this county, it would be over, the way they've got it originally set up is they would phase out all of the schools the first year, but then they would increase the another kind of funding, so it would be a wash for the schools. And then the counties that grew the fastest would have it phased out over 4 years. Des Moines County and most counties would have it phased, and cities would have it phased out over 6 years. So, it would be some of the mental health provisions I think are okay. Some of them maybe not so much. So I'll write them a letter. I'm sure that will have a huge effect on them. But it'll keep me off the streets for now. That's all I've got.
There's also part of that bill is the elimination of the conservation tax credit. And as you're aware, we get a lot of donations and stuff for our projects over the years. I mean, there's a lot of donations and stuff, the Building Hollow, things like that, and they're proposing to eliminate that. I think it's Division 7 of that, if it's the same bill we're talking about.
And when they were talking about, I heard them talk about a forest reserve and conservation credit. What is that? So in other words, so if you give money to conservation, it's not tax deductible?
Right, so that's what they're proposing now, is to eliminate that deductibility for donations for conservation purposes. And so within our world, we've been rather opposed to that, because that's gone a long way to building parks.
What's the point behind that?
Revenue?
No, at the end of the day, that would be it. They're looking for something to make this as close to revenue neutral as they could.
So that's one part of it that at least, you know, our industry is rather opposed to.
What's the forest reserve? I heard somebody say you can't let people hunt, but you can't let people or charge people to hunt or use your land if it's on forest reserve anyway, can you?
No, and there's a lot of misconceptions about that. So a lot of folks think that if you're enrolled in forest reserve, you have to make it publicly accessible, and that's not true. But you also can't lease it out to paid hunters. So like if Timber Ghost were to come in and lease your ground and you know, are essentially commercializing that property, you don't qualify for forest reserve. That's a very hard thing to catch.
Impossible. If you're going to use the property as for revenue sources, it's not taxed.
Right, yeah, you can't get the tax deductibility.
Yeah.
And so there's several proposals floating around to change the forest reserve law. I know some of them include increasing the number of acres to qualify, and then it wouldn't be perpetual, and then deductibility would only be, I think, 75% instead of 100% abatement, basically. And so I don't know where that's going to go or currently where it stands, but I know there's been some proposals floating out there to change that up quite a bit.
I know they talked about it, and that's, I don't know a lot about that, but I knew a little more about some of the mental health proposals, so that's what I'm sort of focused on.
Our industry doesn't really have a strong stance on most of these proposals for the Forest Reserve law. The biggest concern I have is the bill that I read, proposal that I read anyway, was they're going to put on the DNR the burden of doing inspections and then re-inspections. And a few years back, the state eliminated the DNR forestry division. So I'm not exactly sure where they think the DNR is going to have the resources to send foresters out to certify these sites to do re-inspections, do re-enrollments and stuff like that. So I'm a bit concerned about that. But otherwise, I mean, I'm not against them increasing the minimum number of acres and it being not 100% abatement. I'm really not against that. But as far as like putting extra burden on state agencies, you know how that goes. So, like I said, who knows where that goes. There's a lot of things floating out there right now, as you know.
Yeah, well, it might go nowhere, but...
Right.
When I was in Monroe County, the Forest Reserve bill was a huge, huge deal. We lost a large chunk of tax base back in those days. That's been a long time ago. And what would happen was every time a deer was shot that was a world record type deer, more people from Chicago or wherever would move in, buy 160 acres of timber, put it in forest reserve, which takes it out of the tax base, and up would pop a Morton building. And a road that probably had 20 vehicles a day for 3 months out of the year, hunting season, the traffic would skyrocket. But of course, they had to hide it because they couldn't be making a profit off of it.
Right.
But it turned into a hunting lodge. And it was a big deal over there because of the loss of tax base, but also we saw it in the road department also. But it's impossible to prove. Even having the DNR go do inspections, those guys, they're not stupid. You'd have to get into some sort of an audit process or something like that to ever figure out or to prove, because I'm sure it's cash changing hands.
Yeah.
It's not ever going to show up on the books. So it is a big deal, especially when you get to a rural county like Monroe County, with a very small tax base, not a great agricultural county, that kind of a thing. That's a big deal when you start. We have 20,000 acres that the government owns at the ammunition plant that's untaxable. It's kind of sort of like that. I mean, to be honest with you. So I'm glad they're looking at it. I don't really have an opinion either way. I think there's got to be a middle ground in there, but it was a big deal when I was in Monroe County.
On the other end of the spectrum, you have these urban counties where, the wealthy types will come in they'll buy up a 5, 6, 7 acre chunk of ground, they'll stick a McMansion on it, they'll carve out 1 acre for their house, and then they'll put the rest of it in forest reserve.
That's happened in Des Moines County, I know a couple places.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so I know, like, you know, Johnson County, Story County, places like that, where land values are, you know, incredibly high compared to places like us in Monroe County. That's another issue that has come up too.
That is true.
Cuts back on the tax base.
I've heard some of them discuss in supervisors' meetings about the forest reserve.
And that certainly wasn't the intention of that law. You know, that law was established, I think, in 1927, when the Iowa's forest resources were just, you know, being wiped out, and it really was put in place to protect and have some sort of incentive to maintain Iowa's limited forest resources. It certainly wasn't to, you know, protect out-of-towners buying up, you know, hunting lodges and, you know, folks building big mansions on the 5 acre lot. So if we can figure out how to balance that with still maintaining the resource, I think that'd be good.
Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, due to our limited seating, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. You may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you 2 minutes to initiate that phone call or email. Anybody in there? Yes, sir.
Michael Cecil, 2815 Herblow. I've got a concern. Having served numerous times in elected positions, such as yours, one of the frustrations we always had was trying to get those you serve to participate in their own governance. Rather than when they get ticked off, they come and yell at you or point their finger. The more they're involved, the more you feel like there's that communication. And one of those responsibilities is to vote. Now, one of the problems we've always had in this country is trying to get a large percentage of our citizens to vote. And, you know, we were compared to other countries, and it's the same thing, apathy, or they'll take care of it until they don't, and then it's their fault. This last election, we had record turnout of voting. And in this country right now, state and national level legislators seem to have lost track of their responsibilities to their constituents and responsibility of their, one of their jobs is to encourage people to vote and participate in their own governance. We have all these things now about voter suppression going on, trying to discourage people from voting by making it more difficult in many, many ways. As far as I'm concerned, we vote for these people because their number one purpose is to look out for our security, housing, food, water, health care, and so on. And it seems like they've begun to turn this into a high school debate where the number one goal is to win, regardless of the adverse effects it has on those they're supposed to serve. What frustrates me, as you can tell by the voice, I'm concerned, I'm saddened, and I'm afraid. Somehow we have to get people to pressure those who have the authority and power to look at what they're doing and to try to get back on the right track. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
That was gangster, man.
Anybody else? Bob?
Are you sure you pronounced that name in 5E correctly?
This name in what?
5E.
Well, it's high V, so it would be a high V is quicker, and it's N-U-D-D, high V Nud. So I believe, I'm assuming it's the Nud wedding, but I didn't examine that particular document quite that close.
You know the Nuds, man. Quit getting funky. Everybody knows the Nuds. Good people.
They're good people.
With an I, we're adjourned. We're adjourned.
Going downhill.